welcome to episode 28 of Carlene's Anime Corner, a St. John's County Library podcast. I am here with Zoe again today, and we are going to be talking about an anime that she liked a lot more than the last one we talked about. Did not like Legend of Galactic Heroes much.
No. Not really, no.
No.
This one was like a massive step up in quality.
And she's been telling me also that she's been greatly enjoying Spy Family.
I want to review that one next so bad. Can we review that one next, please? I'm sorry. It's just like, it's become like one of my newest obsessions. It's actually distracted me from watching the show that we're going to talk about now, because it's just so good. And okay. I love it. And it's cute. And it's fun. And it's really nice. And I just really like it.
Okay. Well, let's save some of that for if we do review it. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. You brought it up. So
I know. I brought it up. Diving in. Have you been doing anything fun or nerdy yet this summer?
I've actually been, this is probably one of the busiest summers that I've actually had, because on top of like my job and like my volunteer work and everything like that, I've only been getting like 2 or 3 days to like to myself. And also because my family insists on doing a lot of family stuff, so I have to deal with that. So I haven't really been getting a lot of time to myself, unfortunately. But I will say, I've been hyping out, getting really excited for the new Pokemon game. It's been like showing trailers.
Scarlet and Violet, right?
Scarlet. I'm super excited because the legendaries look super cool and the starters look really cool. I want the duck super bad. I love the duck. And it looks pretty good.
Green fox one, I think?
Oh, yeah. Sprigatito.
Yeah, it's I couldn't remember what it was called. Oh,
the green cat.
Green cat. That's the one that intrigues me.
Green kitty cat. Everyone, the entire internet is yelling at the green cat to not go on two legs because they don't want any more bipedal starters.
They tend to do that a lot. I don't know why.
That's kind of with Pokemon, but
yeah,
that's mostly what I've been doing. Just like the same as usual, playing Pokemon, nerding out over the newest series, laying around, going on 4-hour naps on the daily now, which is very new because I don't usually nap, but now I do when it's for very long times.
Hot out, so that makes everybody more tired.
Probably.
Because we are having one of the hottest starts to the summer I think we've had in years.
Yeah.
It just feels way warmer than normal.
I've been like going out on like my bike, and I've been like going around for like maybe half an hour and then just immediately coming home because I'm like drenched by the time I reach my house.
Yeah. Well, I have been playing Monster Hunter Rise on the Switch because in just a week, which will be long done by the time this gets posted, they are coming out with the expansion pack for it, Sunbreak, and you have to be a certain rank to be able to play the expansion.
Oh, no. That's a little...
I mean, this game has been out for over a year, so...
I mean, but if you just bought it and you get this DLC and you're, like, really excited about it, it's like... Hey.
So, anyway, I'm only honor rank 5 and have to be honor rank 7 to play the expansion, which I have already pre-ordered. So, we're trying to go up in ranks, and it's been very slow going.
You gotta get a bit the grind set going. You gotta get really work hard.
Yeah, which that's... Monster Hunter is all about the grind, to be honest, and dying a lot. So yeah, so that's, other than that, I really have not been watching much anime. I've been mostly playing games and mucking about. So let's go ahead and dive into talking about our anime today, because that is the main thing I've been watching, and I'm on a roll. I think I'm going to watch more of it when we get done with
this. Glad I got this one. It's a nice change of pace.
Yeah. So what we're reviewing for this time is Dr. Stone, which is an anime that came out in 2019, and it had a 24-episode run, and then it came out with a second season in 2021 that was only 11 episodes, but it was subtitled The Stone Wars, so I'm actually very excited to watch that one. It sounds like a lot of stuff happens in there. But we only watched the first 12 episodes, so it left us on a little bit of a cliffhanger.
Yeah, that was a bit mean. It's like, I thought they would have tied it off a little bit easier, but I guess not.
No, I think it's because they planned on a 24-episode first season. They didn't see any reason why they should, at the midpoint, do any kind of like tying off of threads or anything.
Probably.
Quick summary of Dr. Stone here. The kingdom of science is born. Yes, I'm reading this directly from the back of the DVD. One day, all of humanity turned to stone. Then the extraordinarily intelligent and scientific Senku awoke from his petrified prison to find Earth in a prehistoric state. There are entirely way too many P's in that sentence.
Yeah.
Armed with the power of science, he's determined to save humanity and begin the rocky road to rebuilding civilization. But first, Senku must find more comrades if he is going to face off against the revived Tsukasa.
We don't know who Tsukasa is if you don't know the show. So it's
so I don't know why they... I guess they needed to put in some kind of, like, there's some kind of tension here.
Like, kind of make you think, who's this Tsukasa person?
Yeah, yeah. So, Zoe, without any major spoilers, are your quick thoughts about this show and your star rating?
For a star rating,
4.9.
I really like
the actual 5. I mean,
okay, 5 is reserved for shows that like completely take over me, mind, body, and soul. And right now, only 2 of those have actually like succeeded. And I'm not going to mention them here because I've already mentioned them to you a lot, and you're probably tired of it. But like, yeah, 5 rating is only for like ones that like literally like change my perspective on everything. But this show is, it's funny, but it's also like, it's like probably one of the best ways to like explain chemistry and science, I think, for like a person who isn't like super into it, but like is somewhat interested. You can tell the author really likes like chemistry and stuff like that because
it's a good way of explaining how much science is involved in everyday things without actually being pedantic about it.
And yeah, and the animation is really pretty. It's really nice.
I like the character designs. They're really well
done. My only complaint is that the girls look weird, kind of, to me at least. I thought they looked kind of like Uncanny Valley a little bit because like they had really big eyes.
Yeah, there's something about the way, and also the way the eyes are positioned in the face somehow, they look a little different.
Like, it's like, you know, when you're like typing out like an emoticon, you'd like an O and then like a... like a V and an O for like an ooh-woo face, something like that. They look kind of like that, where their mouth is like where their nose should be. And like their head and their eyes are like a little bit too big for their head. It's just like a little creepy, like a goldfish kind of thing.
So this
going
was
on.
Originally a manga series, which
I know
is actually finished now. And I actually have not had a chance to look at the original manga art yet. But I wonder if they based it a lot on the artist's style for this.
Probably, yeah, but, like, it just, way. I always found it a little weird, because it kind of made it a little bit harder to like some of the characters.
I kind of liked it, though, because it gave it a different look. It gave it a more unique look.
True. But that was the only thing I didn't really care for, but everything else is fun. I love
and
all
also,
the characters.
The weirdness on the eyes is more noticeable on the girls from the village. So I thought maybe that was just some way of showing that the girls from the village are separate from... Because I didn't see it as much on Yuzuhara, who was the only other female character.
I kind of saw it all the same to me, but I might just be like from not remembering things correctly. Who knows?
I don't know. It seemed to me to be more distinct on the Village Girls and not so much on Yuzuhara.
I don't think the listeners know who the Village Girls are or who Yuzuhara is.
We'll get into that. Sorry.
But like,
I'm jumping ahead.
Basically, the science in it is good. I love all the characters. There's only like 1 or 2 that I don't like, and even then, they're made to be not liked. And the animation is pretty, the concept is really unique and cool, and for once, I actually care about a main character more than a side character, which is kind of rare among, like, a lot of shows.
Yeah, a lot of anime, you get more, I've noticed that I tend to get more wrapped up in some of the side character storylines than the main one.
Like, you see it a lot in shows where people, like, tend to gravitate more towards a specific side character or like a villain, like for example in Avatar Last Airbender, which the debate on whether it's an anime or not is still ongoing.
It's not
but that's our stance. But basically, like, you see that show and you have, you know, the main character Aang. He's pretty great. He's complex, he's fleshed out, he's enjoyable, but the entire like fan verse, they all gravitate towards, like, Zuko, or Azula, or Katara, or literally any other character that probably isn't Aang. Even the cabbage merchant, who's, like, not even a character. He's a gag. But people people do more stuff with him than they do with Aang.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of interesting. But in this show, the main character was, like, very obviously the main focus. I liked him way more than every other character, mostly because he actually got, like... I don't know, he was just a lot more fun to me. He was a lot more fun.
Well, there were also quite a few episodes... Well, not quite a few. I'm going to say an episode or two where you really only had the main character.
Yeah.
Because it was him and what he was doing and stuff like that without too many other characters infringing on his story.
So it's like it's actually like his story, not like an ensemble cast story, which is kind of rare nowadays, you know, where it's just him.
Well, and that's it, is I was writing down all the main characters in the series, and this is a shonen series. Those usually do have quite a few characters. And I was like, you know what? I even have room on this page to still write down the name of the craftsman that we meet for one episode.
Well, I think technically two, but like even then he's in the background, so he's not really there.
Yeah, you know, he's technically in two, but he's barely in the second one. He's not the focus.
No, he's not, even though he is kind of funny.
He is funny. That's why I wrote down his name, because I was like, this character, I need to write him down. Let's go ahead, and we've already probably given more spoilers than you want to know, but real quick, I agree with everything Zoe said. The animation on this is amazing. I love the characters. I love the science in it and just how much fun it is to watch and just see. If you like games that involve like building civilizations, this is that anime. He is rebuilding civilization.
Like, he's doing stuff like he's making black powder, and they have to like put like a disclaimer to tell you not to do this at home because they're literally making black powder.
At the end of every episode, it literally says, do not do this at home.
Because they're giving you step-for-step instructions on how to make like explosives and stuff.
Apparently, the proportions on the black powder are actually scientifically correct. You can make black powder following that recipe. Do not do it.
Yeah. Also show you how to make like gas masks and like collecting sulfur and stuff like that and making electricity and like getting yourself struck by lightning.
I think there's easier ways to make electricity. Personally, I would have gone more the water wheel route, possibly.
Yeah, but like he wanted to show off his rock collection.
Okay. All right, we're diving into things here. We shouldn't be. Let's get back.
Okay. One more note I want to make on this show. Mm-hmm. It's like not spoilery. This is the first time where for a show I liked the outro song more than the intro song. I preferred the end credits music more than the opening
song.
The
end credits music was way more bouncy, like it was a rap.
And I know, but like the guitar in it is really, really nice. And the vocals switch between multiple languages and it's really smooth. And the visuals are really good.
Yeah, no, this show had an excellent ending credits. Usually the ending credits, they just kind of get lazy on the animation, and this one
they just kind of like show like a scrolling panoramic.
Yeah,
but this one is like really pretty. Like, you know when you look through like a window, but it's covered in water, so it's all like blotchy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks like
that. Well, it made me think of how you can on some apps and stuff, you can use a paint effect on photos, and that's what it looked like to me.
Like they took like real world footage and put like a paint effect over it.
And then did a paint effect over it.
And they did have panoramic shots, but like it was just really pretty. And I skipped the intro a lot because the awkward like opening line is just like kind of a put off for me, because like it just doesn't really fit to me. The like, oh hi yo, whatever it is, I don't remember what it was.
I don't think it was,
oh hi yo, because I'm a good morning world or whatever.
Yeah,
I was just like, that was a little
not for you.
Not for me.
No, but I do agree the ending on this anime. Now I will tell you, I think the ending changes in the next episode, and so does the opening. Because I think they change it like every 12 episodes.
Yeah, they do that a lot with like split up seasons and stuff. Yeah. They do that. I actually put the outro song in my Spotify playlist. I really liked it.
You know you like a song when you put it in your playlist. So my rating, now that we've gotten to it, is I don't do 0.9s and stuff. I do straight 0.5, 0.0. So I gave this one a 5-star rating. I actually really do enjoy the show, and I can see myself rewatching it multiple times. That might change once we get to the end of the series and we see how everything wraps up, but this is a very good, strong start to the series.
Yeah, it definitely makes like a point. Like within the first episode, you're like immediately being like told about these characters. Like, there's like a mass, like a very loud intro introduction.
You know who Taiju is right off the bat.
And you know who Senku is right off the bat. And it's just the characters are just, they're so vibrant, but like not in your face.
Okay.
Like they're comedic, they're funny, they're over the top, but they're not annoying. And that's like really hard to do sometimes.
Well, even the annoying character isn't annoying.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Wait. Do we have the same thought on who the annoying character is? Because like there's three annoying characters.
Let me do our spoiler alert, and then we'll talk about what's the most annoying character in this.
Okay.
All right, guys. We are now going to talk about a lot of plot things that we actually haven't talked about yet, although The Village was kind of a spoiler.
Yeah, that was a bit of a spoiler.
But they're on the front cover of the DVD, so I don't feel too bad on that one.
It's like a half-spoiler.
Half-spoiler.
Because, like, you don't know they're in a village, but, like, now that you...
Okay.
Okay, yeah, whatever.
Spoilers. Now. Okay.
Yay.
Now
we're going to talk about nitty-gritty.
Let's start with... Where do we want to start? Do we want to start with the grand mystery? Do we want to start with the characters? Or
I want to start with Senku. I want to start with Senku. He's probably like the most defining.
I love talking about characters in anime because they are what make an anime, is whether or not you love the character.
Senku, he is one of the strongest main characters I've probably seen in a show so far.
He's our 15-year-old science genius. Like, he is what? They show him as like a 6-year-old boy building his own like.
He builds like a taser. He builds a massive like taser thing to shoot his bullies. He's building rockets. It's like 10 years old.
Yeah, and it's like you see him in this classroom, and he's got this pile of books next to him, and everybody in class is learning that 5 + 3 = 8, and he is sitting there reading about Einstein and electricity. And
he is a genius, and his design. This is all voice, so there's no pictures, but his design, best I can describe it, is the cross between Albert Einstein and a green onion.
Yeah, he's got this white hair that stands straight up, but the tips of it are green.
It's like green, so, like green tips.
Yeah, and red eyes.
Which
I wonder if they're planning on him being like supposed to be like an albino or something.
I mean,
but he's
probably
got dark eyebrows, which would not be...
Okay, but there's also the possibility that he dyes them, or like he burned them off at some point and just kind of painted them there.
True.
Because they don't, if you look up close, there's not really that much defined detail in them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, my personal, like...
You think he, like, paints his eyebrows on because he keeps burning them off?
It fit his character. It does fit his character. Also, I could be completely wrong with that, but yeah. I just think it'd be really funny.
White hair and the red eyes, my first thought was, are they trying to go for, like, so has the albinism?
That'd be really cool.
That sets him way apart from everybody else.
Yeah, that'd be really cool, though, science. Because, you know... He's a funny guy. He's a very funny guy.
He is trying to get his, you know, he calls it his kingdom of science because he's trying to drag civilization back. I love the fact that he's like looks at people and goes, I need manpower. You will work. And it's like, I decided that I'm glad they showed us his friendship with Taiju in the first episode, because otherwise you would think he just uses people to do his science.
See, here's the thing. Here's the thing about him. He comes off, he's arrogant. He's very full of himself, but he's not mean.
No, like he has
He's very full of himself, he's very brainy, he's very methodical. He doesn't really see people like super eye to eye, but
and it's like Taiju he calls him you big oaf, and he like ridicules him because he's not that smart. But he also depends on him, and he protects him, saves him, and helps him out with things.
Like, one of the first things he did after he, like, getting himself, like, situated Senku, one of the first things he did is try to figure out how to revive Taijo so he could, do the thing where he wanted to confess, because he, like, actually cares about him, and he even gave him motivation. Like, in the first episode, he gives him, like a fake love potion, but he knows he won't accept it because it's not actually a love potion, it's gasoline.
Yeah, but... which is really funny, because then he pours it down the drain, which you should not do. Do not pour flammable things down the drain. I remember my second grade teacher coming to school once and saying, I'm going to be out for the next week and you're going to have a substitute, because her husband was pouring things down the drain he shouldn't, and their house caught on fire.
yeah.
Things you remember as a child. Do not pour liquids down the drain that you shouldn't, and that includes gasoline.
Small thing that betrays Senku's identity as a 15-year-old kid, because he probably kind of forgot about that.
He forgets a lot of safety things. A lot of safety things. Let's just say the stuff they do would have OSHA screaming in terror.
He would probably be on an OSHA hit list, something like that.
Yes. Senku, he's willing to help out his friends, but he's also more than willing to like barter to get people to do what he wants. He manipulates people like crazy.
He tricks a bunch of semi-primitive people into helping him generate electricity by feeding them fake primitive ramen.
Yeah, he tries making a primitive ramen for them, which he finds disgusting because he knows what the real stuff tastes like, but they've never tasted anything like this, so they're like, this is amazing.
And then he
now you have to pay for the ramen by arm powering my furnace to make iron.
He makes them blow billows for 4 hours straight. So he's definitely not the nicest person sometimes, but he's got a sense, he's got a very strong sense of morality. He cares about people. He genuinely wants to help people. He's not just do this for me, peasant, now get away. He's do this for me, and I'll give you this.
So Senku wants to use the power of science to bring back civilization after all these people are petrified and covered in stone. And it's been 3,000 years?
3,700 years. Which is a lot.
Yeah, which is a lot, which is why there is nothing left on this planet, pretty much, of
except for, like, a few, like, key landmarks that managed to stand up. But, like, other than that, it's, like, all gone.
Which, that was really cool that they found the Grand Buddha of Kamakura.
And then Senku started dismantling it.
Yeah, yeah. he started taking the bronze from it. But I actually, so, the,
or the, if great, Buddhist,
great,
I'm sorry.
The Great Buddha of Kamakura. And this thing is actually really huge, and has, and I'm amazed that they decided to choose to make that what lasts the test of time, pretty much. But this thing is like 44 feet tall from base to height, so I mean, it is huge, and it weighs about 103 tons.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and it is a hollow statue, because you see that in the anime, and it is actually a hollow statue, and it was built back in 1252. So
yeah,
it's already ancient now.
And it's like still, it still looks great.
Yeah,
looks,
I mean, it's new. Got holes in it. It's missing a hand or two, but I mean, you can tell what it's supposed to be in the anime. And
also,
I sometimes wonder why choices are made. And I have to admit, seeing the Great Buddha of Kamakura, if why they chose to have that survive when all the skyscrapers fall.
Also, when Senku immediately went to try and dismantle it, I kind of laughed. I laughed
a
lot.
Yeah, no.
Because then his friends are like, no, it's the Great Buddha. You can't break it.
Yeah, but Senku is like, it's bronze. We can use it.
We can use bronze.
But yeah, that's Senku. He's highly scientific, highly practical, and I love the fact that he's always overexcited, like he's 10 billion% correct or 10 billion% guarantee.
Yeah, that's his catchphrase.
That's his
10 billion. 10 billion is his catchphrase.
10 billion is his. Yeah, and it's just, and he's always over hyper that way.
But he does have a capacity to be kind, because he does do a lot of things for his friends to like help them. Like one scene that I found really beautiful, because there are a lot of beautiful parts in this show, but like one scene in particular that I thought was like a really good like representation of Senku. Okay, so there's a character named Suika, I think.
Suika, yes.
She's a little girl with a melon on her head, like a melon rind, like a it's like a helmet kind of, with like two holes and a crack in the middle for her mouth.
Yeah.
It's like a little helmet. It's really cute. She wears that helmet because the holes in the melon, it helps her see, because she's really bad eyesight.
Yeah, like, she's like, incredibly nearsighted.
So like the tiny holes in the melon like make it so that she can see things a little bit better. And when Senku finds out about this, and this is after they figured out how to make glass, one of the first things he does is he makes like lenses, like glasses for her to put in her helmet. And they take her out to this like a sunflower field, and she puts on like the glasses helmet for the first time. And like for the first time in like was probably her entire life, she's able to look at him and another kid named Chrome and all the sunflowers, like amazing detail. And it's just really beautiful.
Yeah, she can actually see them up close.
It's a really beautiful moment,
yeah,
because like helping a little girl like see the world.
Well, and he took time out from doing his other projects to make those lenses, because that took a lot of time.
Yeah, he does the same thing for other characters. Like he makes like a gold tipped sphere and a silver tipped sphere for other rooms.
Well,
and he like does say they're for other purposes, but like, It's kind of funny.
The gold tip spear, I have a feeling, was because he was trying to get on their good
side. It probably was a bribe, but it was a little bit funny. I will say that.
It does make for a funny
But he
joke.
Does, like, make things for other people just because he feels like they need them.
That moment with the sunflowers was really beautiful. But you know what I think was probably the most, like, heartfelt, breathtaking moment in the series?
What?
Was when he makes electricity.
When he makes the light bulb.
When he makes
and
the light
he,
bulb.
And he, like, for the first time in 3,700 years, lights up the night.
Yeah.
And everyone's just staring at it. And it's, like, it's really pretty, too.
Yeah. And the way they animate it is gorgeous. Because it's just, like, you see, like, this world of darkness. And then this bright, shining light comes out.
I'm pretty sure one of the characters started, like, tearing up at that, I think.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, one of them started tearing up.
I'm pretty sure. Because that's the type of moment I think they were going for. And that's what I think this entire show is really about, is that moment of the amazingness of science and what it can do. Because I think a lot of times, especially today, because we have so much technology, we start looking at and going at how bad things are. Like, combustion engines are an amazing thing. They're also highly polluting.
Yeah.
But and sometimes we see only the bad side. But I think we also need to remember that this was originally an amazing invention that caused so much to be able to happen that never would have.
Yeah, like space travel was like the most impressive thing in like everywhere. And nowadays it's just like a thing that billionaires mess with.
So yeah,
we don't really think about how impressive like going outside of the planet is.
Well, and just like, you know, the Wright brothers and their airplane.
Yeah, the airplane and like electricity.
We don't even think about it now. Or electricity.
Electricity, portable communication devices, Wi-Fi. That is just all this really wheel.
The wheel. Yeah. Like the basic pulley system he made to lift a log off Kohaku. Yeah, I like the fact that this show takes you back to the basics of science and shows you what built. Senku is there and he's like, so we need to build the most basic blocks of technology and bring technology back. And Taiju looks at him and goes, a cell phone! And Senku's just like, you really like your phone.
He brings it up every time he brings it. He's like, mentions, we gotta start at square one. He's like, all right, cell phone!
Cell phone.
I think we should like break down each of the characters though, just so people have some context.
Let's go ahead.
So there's Senku.
There's Senku. Taiju is his best friend, and Taiju...
His best friend from, like, the very beginning.
Very beginning. Like, they met when they were little kids. Taiju is... He's not very smart.
No, he's
but
not.
But he has a good heart. And he also is incredibly strong.
He's strong. He's like an ox. Yeah. He's like a walking ox. No thoughts in his head, but he can pull something and he can break something. Yep. So like,
and you tell him to go get something and he will do his best and go get it.
And he'll even go over top. Because like when you told him to collect seashells at one time, he scoured that beach. He picked up everything that resembled a shell.
I don't think there was a single shell left when he got done.
No.
But he also is very interesting because he's very strong, but he refuses to ever hit anybody. So, like, he defends Senku by literally standing in front of Senku and letting the bullies hit him instead.
And he tries to, like, okay, so there's a character named Tsukasa.
Which, do you want to talk about Tsukasa
next? Let's talk about Tsukasa, because then it'll go back into that thing about Taiju I wanted to mention.
Because Tsukasa is interesting. He is called,
the ultimate primate high schooler.
Because he is so strong, he can defeat anybody in a fight.
He decks a lion and kills it in one blow.
Yeah, he killed a lion with one punch. He is insanely strong. He's also incredibly smart, almost as smart as Senku. So he has the strength of Taiju, most of the brilliance of Senku. But he also completely disbelieves in civilization because he's been disabused of the notion that civilization is a good thing.
Like, because, you know, before everything, like, turned to stone and everything like that, he was, like, a TV, like, sensation, but, like, not in a good way. He was, like, kind of like a freak show.
Yeah.
And like, he would be pulled on TV and be like, oh, my God, look at this monkey man.
He grew up poor, and he was just trying, and they show in one scene, he was just trying to collect seashells for his sister, and this guy comes out and hits him because he's like, no, I own the stretch of the beach and everything on it is mine.
So
he wants nothing to do with the older people. He wants nothing to do with the old laws, the old anything, to the point that he's actually breaking the statues. And that's the one thing Senku can't forgive.
Because they kind of explain this, but like when you revive somebody, they have to be a full statue. Otherwise, you're reviving basically just
a corpse.
Just a corpse. So if you break the statue, that's basically just straight up murder.
It's murder.
He's just going around killing people.
And Senku does ask Tsukasa, do you realize you just murdered someone? And Tsukasa says yes. So they straight out say Tsukasa is fully aware that when he breaks a statue, he's killing a person.
He's pretty complex as a character.
He is.
And there was one line.
A part of me does really feel for him because his upbringing was terrible. And you can see why he feels the way he does. But you also are like, you're wrong. You're not right.
Because like, you can understand why, but like, it doesn't make it right.
And I love it when anime does characters like that. I mean, sometimes you just want a villain that you just want to smash because you want to smash them.
You
want to
punch them.
But I also love it when they bring in a villain that you can look at them and go, I know why you went wrong. I know where you went wrong, but you are still very wrong and we're going to defeat you.
Like, there was one line that he said before he like left the little group to like start his own like Tsukasa Empire, as they call it.
He says that
had we met in another time, we may have become friends.
And I love that because they do a whole flashback. They redo a flashback of how Taiju and Senku became friends. But this time they add Tsukasa in and they do the whole flashback again, but with Tsukasa as one of them. That was another moment I really loved.
And
about
it was really kind of sad, you know, because he's not a bad guy. It's just he kind of went wrong somewhere along the way, and he just had a pretty hard life, and he just kind of chose the wrong method to his frustration.
And that's part of why I want to see where this anime goes, because we also don't see much of Tsukasa for the second half.
No, we don't. We see him in the beginning, and then we see him when he's, like, kind of going on a bit of a rampage a little bit. Meanwhile, going back to him, when Tsukasa went to try... Okay, so Tsukasa also tries to kill Senku, I should mention that. He kind of does for a bit.
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of, but they kind of bring him back. But he one thing that goes back with Taiju is he about Taiju's like unwillingness to fight is he goes up to kill Senku, and Taiju throws himself in front of him and says, "I'm gonna stand here, hit me all you want, but just don't hurt Senku." And then which, Tsukasa is like
Tsukasa
dumbstruck.
Is like, that doesn't make sense.
There's no just, deal being made
yeah,
here.
Hitting you is not going to get me anything I want, and it's not going to protect Senku.
And you're like, no, hit me. He's like, I don't, what are you, what?
What?
He's just so confused.
Yeah. But that's Taiju, though.
That's Taiju. So and we already talked about Tsukasa.
Yeah, so Yuzuhara is Taiju's love interest, and you're pretty sure she's into him, too.
But, yeah, because she's a little bit blushy in the beginning.
Yeah,
she,
yeah.
You know.
We don't really get to see much of Yuzuhara.
Which is kind of sad, because from what we did see of her, she seems like a very interesting character, mm-hmm. and Senku trusts her a lot with a lot of things. Like, she's one of his friends.
She apparently is, and she's in the Arts and Crafts Club, so she's really good with her
she's
hands.
She's, like, the head of the Arts and Crafts Club, and so she makes little dolls for, like, for him.
So she could be a really good helper with the whole science thing and crafting stuff and so on.
She does become a hostage. Tsukasa does take her hostage at some point.
But she turns it around on him.
Yeah, she fights back.
Yeah.
So she's not a damsel in distress. No.
She's not. I really like her. And as I said, she was not much in these episodes, so I'm hoping we get to see a lot more of her later on. So the villagers.
Okay, there are...
So our main one that we meet first is Kohaku. She is, I'm going to guess, probably about Senku's age, so teenager-ish.
But she's got Taiju's strength, but like probably a bit more.
Bit more, and she's very skilled at fighting with two knives.
Which is very cool.
She's the strongest warrior in her village, pretty much, even though she's a girl.
I should clarify, after the 6th episode mark or so, they come. Senku goes off and leaves Taiju and Yuzuhara mm-hmm. to like try and reason or become spies with Tsukasa. And he leaves on his own, comes across this village of like
about 40 to 60
40 people, I think.
They said 40 people, not counting the old and the really young.
So, like, about 40, 50, 60 people.
Yeah,
and they're all, like, people who were born in the world without technology.
They've never known a world of technology.
So they call, like, basic chemistry and science, like, sorcery.
Yeah.
So, like, back to Kohaku.
So Kohaku is, she's the strongest warrior, and she... decides she really likes Senku because she watched Senku and she watched what she called the long-haired guy.
The
long-haired man. And she decides she really doesn't like the long-haired man, but she likes Senku.
Because Senku does help her. Because I think one of the reasons she doesn't like him is because Tsukasa, he tried to like get on her side, but when she wasn't having it because she saw him basically kill Senku out of for no reason.
Yeah.
And so she tries to, like, fight back, and he ends up, like, dropping a tree on her to, like, pin her down, and then leaves. And then Senku comes along and makes, like, a whole pulley system to try and get it off. And that's kind of, like, what cemented him as, like, a good person in her mind.
Kohaku tells Senku, "Oh, I know somebody you'll really love." And this is when we get to meet the other sorcerer.
A.K.A. the guy who discovered science on complete accident.
Complete accident, Chrome. And they have Chrome and Senku have a sorcerer's battle, which is hysterically funny because he's like, "I'm going to show you my best sorcery ever." And Senku one-ups him every single time.
The first thing he does is he throws like a salt into a fire to make it change color. And then Senku does the same thing, but like 10 times better. And he's like, "Static electricity." And then Senku like... gets like a ball of like solid, like what is it? Like some kind of material.
I forget what material they made the ball out of.
But it was like
sulfur
a solid, like, I think it was sulfur.
Sulfur
and like, and he rubbed it up and it made his hair go pfft. And he passed it around to other people and they're like, "Ooh, what's this?"
Well, yeah.
It made their hair stick up.
Chrome was only rubbing it with his hands, I think, to create the static electricity. And Senku was like, "Oh, you can do much better if you rub it with leather." And so he started rubbing it with leather. And his hair just goes... Fwong.
And then everyone else is like, "Ooh, I want to try." And they start passing it around.
So
And then Chrome tries to challenge him to a battle of arithmetic. Which, for a little bit of context, in the first episode it's revealed that... Senku managed to keep his consciousness as a statue
by literally counting
into like the trillions.
Yeah.
So when you challenge a guy like that to a battle of arithmetic, he has the words E equals MC squared written on his collar, so he knows every formula there is.
And I love the fact they don't actually show you the battle of arithmetic; it just shows you in the end Chrome on the ground with all these math equations just
crushing
him all over him.
Yeah. The comedy in this show is impeccable.
Yeah. I love it when it gets cartoony and comic like that. The two guards that they deal with the most are Kinro and Jinro.
I love them. I love them so much. Okay. So much fun.
So Jinro is the one, he's the younger of the two, and he's the one who gets the silver spear at the end.
He's a blondie.
Yeah. And he was the one that I thought might become annoying if he, but they do.
Because he's a little goofy,
He's a goofy crybaby.
He's a bit of a goofy crybaby, and he's got a good soul. He's got
a good
heart.
Side.
He, like, when they go to collect sulfur, sulfuric acid, I think, and there's, like, a bunch of dangerous gas around, he gets really worried about them, and he ends up taking his own mask and then running off to help, and he does end up saving Chrome's life from falling into a giant lake of sulfuric acid.
He shows at the end that despite his scary catness and everything, he will come through at the end for his friends.
I always thought he was funny. I always thought he was kind of funny, you know, because he was, like, the one brother who was, like, actually, like, genuinely interested in everything Senku was doing with the science and stuff, while his brother was like, no, rules are rules. Because he was like, come on, let's go get ramen. He's like, no. Because he's, like, really excited to try all the things they're doing.
So those are most...
Oh, we forgot about the other brother.
Jinro?
Jinro, we didn't talk about him.
Well, he's the serious standoffish one, who is like, rules are rules, but he slowly begins bending as time goes on.
Yeah, and I think it starts when Senku dips his spear in, like, liquid gold-ish kind of stuff.
Coated it with some kind of chemical that when he put it in the fire, the heat reaction caused the spear to turn golden. I can't remember.
It's science.
It's chemistry. It's science. I'm sorry.
But, like, he made him a golden spear, and it didn't seem to work at first, but you soon realize he likes this golden spear a lot.
Yes.
To a point where when they sacrifice it to make really high, strong magnets, he gets really sad. He gets really upset over it.
And I love the fact that Jinro starts... I can't keep these two straight.
You just call him Blondie and Sirius.
Yeah.
You just call him
Blondie.
Well,
when Kinro of the gold spear loses his gold spear, Jinro of the silver spear teases him like crazy about losing,
like,
that gold spear.
He just keeps making fun of it. Oh, yeah, you and your gold spear.
Oh wait. You don't have a gold spear.
You don't have it anymore.
Yeah, no. those two together are fantastic.
I love them.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I think this next one is the one that you thought was the annoying character. You see as the annoying character. The magician man.
Jin, the 19-year-old mentalist who is really famous and is also on the TV circuit.
And he's very shallow.
He is incredibly shallow, but to some extent he annoyed me, to some extent he didn't, because he acknowledged what he was, he knows what he is, and he's like, yeah, I'm that type of shallow person.
I will turn sides at the drop of a hat. Just give me something, I can be bribed, I don't really mind that.
He loves drama and a show. That's what he loves. And he wants, and to be honest, he betrayed Tsukasa because he saw that science could give him what Tsukasa couldn't, which was an ice cold Coke. That's what he wants.
Yeah, that's what he wants. That's all. literally all it took for him.
But you know what? I have to kind of respect a guy who knows what he wants. And he knows exactly how he's going to get it, and he will do it.
Okay, so here's the thing with him. I thought I wasn't gonna like him, but the fact that, like you said, the fact that he owns up to, like, what he is.
He knows his character flaws. He knows what he is.
I kind of like him a lot now. He's like my third favorite character.
And you know what? I have a feeling that if Senku follows through and gives him that ice-cold Coke, he will not betray Senku, because to a certain extent, he will follow his own comforts, but he knows what side will give him what he
wants. And there's another thing.
And I think it could be, too, because he probably recognizes that in the Kingdom of the Strong,
he's not going to get very far.
Well, and also,
there's only so much talking can do.
Also includes medicine.
Yeah, because
how much medicine are they going to have in the Kingdom of the Strong versus the Kingdom of Science?
Like, when they first get to the village, one of the first things they start doing is trying to make antibiotics for one of the villagers, like Ruri, who's very sick.
Yeah, and they're trying to heal her because she's also kind of the leader of the village.
They call her the priestess.
She's the priestess because she's the one who hands down the knowledge, which. I'm really hoping to find out more about this.
Because they say she hands down, like, the 100 stories.
So that's why he wants to meet the priestess and save her life, because he wants to know more about these stories.
But because the village leader doesn't really trust him, he has to, like, find a way to, like, kind of buy his way a little bit
which will also make Kohaku really happy, because Ruri is Kohaku's sister. So for being a show that is all about science, there's actually a lot of depth and also action going on. Because, I mean, you have the lion attack, you have the grand bout, and Kohaku is awesome.
I love Kohaku. Her fighting. She's great.
Yeah. And the animation on this, I can't get over just how it's a very simple style of animation. Like, it has that dark, bold lines that I like.
I love dark, bold lines and
but
stuff.
But it also is incredibly detailed and well done.
Like, all the backgrounds.
Movements. Yeah, the backgrounds
and the movements.
And the movements and the way the expressions of the characters.
And the character design themselves.
Oh, the character designs are amazing. I love their clothing, the way they did the clothing and everything.
It's really
Senku
great.
Somehow wound up with a lab coat.
He made his own lab coat.
He
made his own lab coat.
So he looks like an evil scientist sometimes.
And he does make evil scientist faces because yes. He's an evil scientist, but he has morals, kind of.
All right. So we need to start wrapping things up here. What is one last takeaway you want to leave about this show with our listeners?
It is a lot of fun. It is actually educational because the science in this, fun fact, Crunchyroll did a thing on their YouTube channel where mm-hmm. They had the host from MythBusters, one of the hosts from MythBusters watch this show.
I think it was Carly?
It was Carrie.
Carrie. I couldn't remember.
They had Carrie from MythBusters watch this show, and she said
accurate. I need to track down that video and watch
it. The science in this is MythBusters approved, so I'm pretty sure it's accurate.
Now, the lack of safety equipment is not.
No, it's not. Yeah. She does mention that, too. She mentions that they should be wearing, like, goggles and gloves. Or something like that, because they're handling very dangerous substances and making black powder.
Which explodes.
A lot, actually.
Yes.
But yeah, it's educational. It's not exactly safe, but it's very fun. It's pretty. It's funny. It's a lot. It's great.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
All right. My last thoughts on this show. Dr. Stone is a really good show to celebrate science. It is your typical shonen show in the fact that friendship is important. But it's not your typical shonen show because fighting is not.
Yeah, the friendship isn't a superpower.
The friendship is not a superpower, but science is. And I love the fact that this broke the shonen mold while also keeping to it because I love shonen shows. Thank you for joining us today, and we talked a lot about the characters in this show, but it was a very character-driven show. Are you planning on watching more of this, Zoe?
Probably, yeah. I kind of want
to
see it.
I have to admit, I already have the second half already queued up, and I'm going to watch a few more episodes tonight. As I said, if you guys have any thoughts or comments about this show, also, we did cover mostly characters, but there's a lot of science, a lot of action, and it's a fabulous show. So if you have any thoughts or comments, go ahead and you can email me in the email in the show notes. We also have, you can also give us any recommendations for shows you would like us to review. I do have a list, and I have actually picked out two of those that we're going to be doing later on this year. And Ms. Zoe? Yes, we will do Spy Family for the next show.
Yay!
So yes, we will be watching Spy Family for our next episode. Thank you for joining us. And with this hot summer coming, I hope you guys have a lot of fun watching a ton of anime.
Stay hydrated and actually walk around a bit outside sometimes because, you know, you can't stay indoors all the time.
Do it after 4 o'clock, though.
Do it after 4 o'clock or at least when the sun goes down.
Just to give you guys a little bit of an idea of when we're recording this because it is a few weeks before it's going to be posted. We are looking at having a 100-degree day this week, which is insane.
Yeah, that's a little worrying.
Yeah.
It's a little worrying.
Stay inside during the hottest hours and watch a lot of anime. And with that, Zoe.
Hey, have a nice day. Have a nice day, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.